Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Off and running on a feel-good football Friday. Why does it feel so good? A, because it's a Friday. B, because the Commanders can't lose this weekend, which is always a good thing, baby. And theoretically, it should be a little bit less stress on the old ticker on Sunday. Although, for me, your boy, I'll be driving home. I am heading off to the Hall of Fame city of Canton, Ohio, after the show, as I needed another travel weekend like a hole in the head. I just couldn't resist spending a weekend at home with just catching up on things and bills and, you know, paperwork and all that stuff. Going back to the gym and all that. No. I needed to make a 13-hour round trip over the next 48 hours, starting at 4 o'clock. Got to go see my young adults and you know, be a dad. I talk to my kids and see my kids on video pretty much every day. Tyler, certainly. And I talk to Natalie every day. Not so much on video. But occasionally. But I've spent an hour and a half with them since July, you know, in person. So I need to be a dad and go see them and spend time with them. And even though it's a short weekend and whatever, and a lot of driving and so on and so forth, you know, that's what I need to do. So on Sunday, I'll have NFL Red Zone on the video on the phone with the audio coming through the Bluetooth as I drive back and try and do it like that. So, you know, I can't say it will be a completely stress-free Sunday. It won't. But that will be the lay of the land. And I'll get to watch, or hear at least, a lot of bits and pieces of the NFL Week 12 Sunday schedule. With that, we welcome you aboard one and all and tell you that in just a moment, we will get to another big breakout performance by the Washington Capitals. But first, I wanted to open up with what happened last night in Houston. Thursday night football, Texans 23-19 over the Buffalo Bills. And why, A, obviously, you should be concerned if you're a Bills fan. They are now 7-4. And after starting 4-0, they've gone 3-4, and Josh Allen was sacked 8 times. I think everybody has heard that number thrown around. They got, not run on, but Houston was effective enough with a guy that nobody's ever heard of, right? And if Houston was any good in the red zone, which they're not, if Houston was any good in the red zone, the score would have been probably 34-19 as opposed to 23-19. That being said, it's a win is a win is a win is a win. And that defense of the Houston Texans, as anybody that has watched them under DeMeco Ryans, especially over the last year and a half, knows, that defense is awesome. And when you have a stud like Will Anderson, who they drafted number 3 overall 2 years ago, and then you go out and invest big money in Danielle Hunter, who was coming off, I think, a 12.5, 13 sack season 2 years ago when they signed him. And you draft Lassiter in the second round, and obviously you, what do you call it, have the first-round pick, the kid from LSU that is banged up. I forgot his name. Stingley? Is it Stingley?
The corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, Derek
right?
Stingley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's yeah, he didn't play. Did he play last night?
Yeah, he was playing.
He was playing. Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I lost track of that. I mean, he didn't make – so basically, you know, he didn't make any tackles. So that's why I was like, wait a second, did I see that right? He was out there, right? So when you have that kind of talent, you are going to have a good defense. And D'Amico Ryans was thought of coming out of San Francisco as a rising coach, mind, scheme sort of guy, right? And so far in Houston, they have made sweet music defensively. They are everything that you would ideally hope when you hire a rising young defensive mind and then actually support him and support it the way they have, marry it all together, and still somehow have the ability to get a future franchise quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who, granted, is banged up and hasn't played in 3 games and probably will return next week. But it's everything that the Texans, I'm sure, were hoping for. Nick Caserio, their general manager, were hoping for when they hired D'Amico Ryans and they said, okay, we fired 2 head coaches after 1 year terms in a row. And remember, everybody thought they were racist for firing David Culley, the longtime Baltimore Ravens assistant, after 1 year, which was a weird hire. And then they fired Lovie Smith after a year, right? Which was another strange hire. Everybody thought, oh. And then they went out and hired, just to shut down that narrative, a third straight black head coach in D'Amico Ryans. The difference is they actually got it right this time. Now, I thought they probably gave up on those other 2 guys too quick. It's hard to do anything in a year with a bad franchise and a bad roster, but I'm not there, and I don't see the inner workings and so on and so forth. Clearly, they got it right with D'Amico Ryans. Now, that doesn't mean D'Amico Ryans is going to be Bill Belichick, but they are on a path in Houston to have a top 3-ish defense every single year with the kind of resources that they've invested, draft and free agency, Danielle Hunter specifically. And they are an absolute bear to deal with. They don't have a great running game. They're not good in the red zone. C.J. Stroud has missed 3 games in a row. And yet, everything that you could kind of ask for from Davis Mills has been given, right? Last night, he was only 16 of 30, not very good. .153, not very good. Again, struggled big time in the red zone. Not very good. But 2 touchdown passes and no interceptions against a suspect Bills defense is not like great, great by any means, but it's good enough. And if C.J. Stroud can come back next week, hopefully, and if he's not too rusty, and if he can stay on the field, and if he can hit his stride by mid to late December and get the oil running completely through the engine again, maybe they can be better in the red zone. Maybe they can be better at running the football. Maybe this Marks kid showed them a little something-something with letting go of Damian Pierce yesterday. Also losing Mixon. Well, they've lost Mixon for the entire year. So the Texans, long and short of it, at 6-5 after a rough start to the year, right, might be that most dangerous team category. Might be that team that you go, oh, watch out for them. Not because of their offense, but because of how dominant, how sick they are defensively. Again, last night they sacked Josh Allen 8 times. Anderson had 2.5. Daniil Hunter had 2. Edwards had a half. Barnett had a sack. Tim Settle, remember him? Tim Settle, 5th-round pick out of Manassas. And Virginia Tech had a sack. You get the point. Good job by the Texans' defense last night, obviously. They also forced the late turnover as the Bills were, you know, facing a 4th-and-6 on the 22, needing, of course, to get more than a field goal, because otherwise if they just needed a field goal and they were down 23-20, then they probably in that situation would have kicked a field goal to tie up the game, excuse me, and push it into overtime. But because they were down 4, why? Because they missed an extra point early in the game, which is why the extra point and special teams and makeable kicks is so, so, so important. And everyone in the media always just never even mentions it, except for this show, never even mentions it until it's a problem. We get paranoid about bad place kicking and bad special teams on this show, and always have for years and years and years. Some of my best friends in the coaching industry are special teams coordinators. I mean, if you look at, you know, Ben Kotwicka with the Rams, Danny Smith with the Steelers, Richard Hightower with the Bears, three guys that I would consider myself pretty damn close to, and as close to as any other coaches that I've covered and worked with and become friends with, are special teams coordinators. I take, you know, a little pride in good special teams play. The Bills missing an extra point early in that game cost them late in that game. Maybe I missed it. I didn't hear any of that late in the game, post-game, what have you. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. Now, they did have the big special teams return, so that obviously benefited them. So I can't say, oh, it's just a dreadful night of special teams for the Bills. No. They got the Ray Davis 97-yard kickoff return for the touchdown. I got it. Their offense was the bigger issue, but their special teams ultimately turned out to cost them because they missed that first extra point early on after the Cook 45-yard touchdown run. You get the first score, you get a big chunk yardage play on the road on Thursday night, you got to win that game, man. You get a 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, you got to win that game. That's how you win games against Houston and dominant defenses, right? That's how you win games against the Seattles of the world. And even, don't look now, the LA Rams of the world. Great defense. And I shouldn't say don't look now. If you've been paying attention, you know that the Rams have done a really nice job the last 2 years on defense, and even before that with Raheem. But they reinvested and hit a few home runs and have done a great job. And oh, by the way, have 2 former Commanders starting in their secondary. But neither here nor there. So you look at that game last night and you say, well, Houston probably shouldn't have won it based on some areas and how they executed. The Bills shouldn't have won it based on some things that they executed, didn't execute, what have you. And one team had to win, and it was Houston, and they won by 4 at home. And, like, sometimes games are going to be like that, where you're not sure if Houston's absolutely the best team. I mean, we know this. Houston's absolutely the best defense in that matchup, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But anybody, again, people should have known about that. It was the other ancillary things that I wasn't sure. I did pick Houston with the under, which I think they just barely got. I think it was the game came in at 42. I think the total was 44. And I hit Houston plus the 3.5 or 4 or whatever it was pregame. So I won a couple of bucks on that. So I was happy about that. But in general, I'm not a Houston fan. In general, I'd much rather the Bills win because went to school there, worked there. Love Buffalo. You know, last year of Highmark Stadium, great city, great fan base, all of that. But the Bills are reeling a little bit. Houston is surging a little bit. And that is going to be a team that nobody wants to deal with, especially if Stroud comes back and starts to play well and they can marry offense and defense. That is going to be a team that nobody wants to bleep with in the postseason. I'll tell you that much. I don't think I have to tell you that. All right, real quickly, before we take a first time out of the show, and then we'll wrap around, the Capitals last night went to Montreal after scoring 7 goals on Wednesday night against the Edmonton Oilers, back-to-back Western finalists. I'm sorry, back-to-back Western champions, back-to-back Stanley Cup finalists. The Edmonton Oilers, 7 goals, 7-4 on Wednesday. Sure, a couple of those goals from Tom Wilson late were empty netters. I got it. So you want to say 5 or 6 real goals, what have you. Last night, back-to-back travel, customs, not a short trip from Washington to Montreal, but not a very long trip. But, you know, you got to deal again with customs, late night, you know, all that stuff. No Nick Doubt again. Still no, of course, long-term Pierre-Luc Dubois. And the Capitals light up the Canadiens in Montreal. 8-4. So that means in basically a 27-hour clock span from Wednesday night at 7 o'clock against the Oilers at Capital One Arena until last night at about 10 o'clock at Bell Center in Montreal. About 27 hours. The Capitals scored, count it with me, boys and girls, 7 goals on Wednesday, 8 goals on Thursday. That's 7 and 8. That's 15 goals in 27 or so hours of clock time in 2 games with a trip to Montreal in between against a team that was hell-bent on trying to get a little salvo back from last year's playoff loss and against a team that's nearly won 2 Stanley Cups in a row.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
So the Caps are doing that hockey right now. They're doing that scoring, yeah, which they weren't doing earlier in the year.
Very well.
And maybe they're a little bit more loosey-goosey on the defensive and goaltending front against Edmonton, a high-powered offensive attack. Montreal's got some speed, some transition, all that. But when you can score, and you're not going to do this, when you can score 15 goals in back-to-back games, when you could do that, you could do whatever you want defensively, right? You don't want to win every game 7-4, 8-4, all that. But it shows you that you can win games like that. It shows you that you can crank it up when you have to. And I take that as a very, very good sign. Oh, and the big man is on a tear. You'll hear it next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Slavkovsky has it at the red line. He's just waiting for Leonard to come off. He does. Here come the Habs and a shot here on Lindgren. And a save as Caulfield got it away. Ovechkin's going to turn. He fires. He got it. It's a hat trick. Oh, my. Alex Ovechkin finishes off a hat trick here in Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for jumping the gun there. I got so excited about Alex Ovechkin's 33rd NHL hat trick. Just a drop in the bucket. 33 hat tricks. That's 99 goals. Just on hat tricks, or in games in which he had a hat trick, of the 905 that he's now got in his NHL career. Alex Ovechkin, 8. Alex Ovechkin, 9. Alex Ovechkin, 10. And as you just heard John Walton on 106.7 The Fan last night and the Caps Radio Network, Alex Ovechkin kind of finding the puck, midway in his own zone, spinning around, not even really looking all the way at the other end of the ice and just firing it right down the middle. Bing, bang, boom. And the Capitals would score it much like they did on Wednesday night. Not another empty netter, but another goal. Just 30 seconds later, Sonny Milano, right? And Sonny Milano, all of a sudden, obviously it helps to have a two-goal game, to say this, is coming on. But I thought Sonny Milano had started to finally, just like Ethan Frank, I thought they had finally started to get a little, you're shaking your head over there, Mad Max. I thought they had started to finally start to find a little footing and add a little speed, add a little juice, add a little youthful energy to this team.
I thought you were going to say start falling off, and that's when I was like, I wanted to jump in.
Prior
to last night.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
But
no,
last night they were incredible.
No, I think they both, much like Leno, when he scored the two goals on Wednesday night, Ryan Leonard, like maybe people were surprised by that because he had only had two goals coming into the game. But if you watch the Capitals, if you watched Ryan Leonard throughout the playoffs and throughout the stretch run last year.
Leads the league in shots that hit the post.
Yeah. But if you had really watched him, and I can't watch every shift, every game, every minute, all that. I got too much going on. But if you watch any of it, you shouldn't be surprised by what happened with Leonard on Wednesday night. Maybe you say, well, I wasn't expecting Sonny Milano to score two goals and Ethan Frank to have two goals and two assists. But there were some signs that both of them were starting to come along, or all three of them were starting to come along. And I will just say this, the biggest thing that jumped out to me, and I think Al Kokin pointed this out in the post game, is they, for a team that, like, everybody thinks is old, right? And they are old in some spots. No doubt about it. And for a team that lacked big time speed, like, they've added some speed. Now, how long it lasts, I don't know. Right? Nobody's thinking that Ethan Frank and Sonny Milano are going to do this every night, but Ryan Leonard's here to stay. Justin Sortif is here to stay. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. At that point, he was exclusively playing wing on the fourth line. Then they quickly moved him up to center, and now he's centering the second line, right? And Sortif's got speed and physicality. They have done a nice job of, and they don't even have Marishnichenko up with this group. And there's more on the way. But they've done a fairly nice job here, Chris Patrick, Brian McClellan, of turning some of the roster over and maybe getting less grit guys, okay, or less guys that are try-hard type guys. You know, Aman Giapani, who's with Edmonton. Who's the other guy that they let go over the offseason?
Radish.
Taylor Radish. They've let thank you, Mad Max. They've let some of those guys go and turn them into the young opportunities for younger guys.
Younger, now, faster, finesse.
Exactly. And now, that doesn't mean it's always going to work out and that they're going to stay permanently in the lineup, but they're going to push each other. And again, I mentioned Maris Nurchenko still waiting in the wings, right? They need him to be more consistent, better defensively, better two-way, all that stuff. But the point being is, they are starting to get more speed, youth, infusion, and they started that last year, but more speed, more infusion, less heavy, less grit, more transition, more skill, where you can keep up with teams like Montreal, Carolina, Florida. And again, those teams have speed, skill, and grit, some of them, okay? My point, you still need the grit. You still need the heavy at times. You still need the physicality at times. But I think you have that. And if they can eventually get Pierre-Luc Dubois back, eventually, and that might be a couple of months, and I think Nick Dowd is just day-to-day, and if they can get regular contributions from some of these younger guys with speed, with fresher legs, again, sort of Leonard, Ethan Frank, Sonny Milano, four guys that I just mentioned right there, then, and who knows about Maris Nurchenko and whoever else, then this team, with the goaltending that they have, and obviously the big man, as they call him, I don't call him that, but they call him that, you hear it, right? Then maybe they can make a run to the conference final. Who knows? Maybe with Florida's injuries, maybe it's more. Who knows? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get back to the football in just a sec. I want to ask something about quarterbacks and regression and progression. Second-year quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, what have you. When we return, we're going to take a look at all the NFL slate. We have all things AMAC. We have everything going on here on a Friday. If you want to hop in with something relevant, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Please make it good. Let's do a trending alert. All right, so with the Commanders out on bye this weekend, obviously less games and a little less to worry about, but the Giants are still concerned or have to be concerned about Jackson Dart. He's going to miss his second consecutive game, still in concussion protocol. That means Jameis Winston, rather, gets his second straight start. Russell Wilson serving as the backup as the Giants go against the Detroit Lions. They could be the first team in the NFL eliminated with a loss and other scenarios that play out. Meanwhile, from college football, I should say, last night, Arkansas State losing at home. But here's one for you from men's college basketball, I should say. An ex-Temple men's basketball player apparently bet against his former team, or his own team, I should say, former Temple guard Heisher Miller, deemed permanently ineligible by the NCAA after he was found to place 42 bets totaling $473 on parlays that included 23 Temple Owls games over the last couple of years. Clearly something that all leagues are monitoring and then some. And that is what's trending.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You didn't miss anything. That was a quick break, man. Whew. Never know around here. Never know around these here parts. Man, got to catch my breath. All right, welcome back. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Here's what I want to get to before we take a look at the Week 12 NFL slate, all things AMAC, our picks, all of that. And that is this. The progression or regression of young quarterbacks. We know it is the hardest sport in the world to play. The hardest position in sports to play. We know this.
According to everybody except for Cowboy B.
Cowboy B has a revolutionary spin on this, that quarterback is easy to hit?
No,
he thinks pitcher?
Pitcher is harder than quarterback.
Wow. I mean, listen, a pitcher is not as easy as they make it look. I mean, to throw a ball 97 miles an hour with, you know, often pinpoint accuracy is not easy. There's a lot of things we can debate. Listen, I think hockey goaltenders are, I mean, really, really difficult position to play and to be consistently good at, right? For lots of reasons. That being said, I don't think I'm being naive in suggesting that playing quarterback is the toughest position in all of sports. Now, that being said, a lot of people took umbrage with my thoughts yesterday on Twitter and on the show when I said the notion that Jaden Daniels has nothing to gain in a completely lost season is, and I put in big capital letters, absurd. He has everything to gain. He needs lots of work. So let me give you a sample of some of the responses from something called at Audie Samuels. He needs a lot of work, according to who? To which I answered, according to anyone who has watched him this year. From back east, he does not need lots of work. He's fully developed. Took team to the NFC Championship. He needs a lot of work, in quotes, which is what I said. He says, you need lots of work. And then said FFS. I'm not aware of that acronym. If somebody can help me with that, I don't know what that means. Oh, thank you, Cowboy B. Yeah, back east thinks he's got it all solved because he went on a magic carpet ride to the NFC Championship. Jaden Daniels has no more work to be done. Doesn't need to develop at all. Doesn't need to get better at all. God, you people. Woo. You want to talk about FFS? Then there's more. Tony Pepperoni. I like the screen name. Plenty to gain, much more to lose. Some agreed with me, said Willie. Finally, someone in D.C. that gets it. Skins fan, Joe Schneid, says, I agree. He's a second-year quarterback that struggled this season, fair or not, with injuries. He needs to build momentum for next year. John Paul Ross, not John Paul Flame. Yes, he does. He had a great rookie year, but he's far from perfect and needs more reps and game experience to gain in his second season. Old Fart said he needs a lot of work. Throwing to practice squad players? Question mark. DMV sports fan, what work does he need? Question mark. Dubs 34, 100 emoji, meaning he 100% agree. 100% agrees. Just giving you a sample of some of the responses and some of the answers. Levy Spry, man, cut it out. JD does not need to play in meaningless games. What? Says, you have it backwards, you buffoon. It's the Commanders have nothing to gain putting Jaden in. Let him heal. Let's get a good draft pick. There's more, but you know, I'm just going to read through a couple of them here. You get the point that there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of split reaction and opinions to whether Jaden Daniels has regressed this year, or has he just been unlucky, or has it been a byproduct of playing with bad talent surrounding him? And so at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, that's one thing you can weigh in on this Feel Good Football Friday when we don't feel really good, is does Jaden Daniels need a lot of work? Or is he a finished product? Like one tweeter suggested, because he made it to the NFC Championship game. Does he need a lot of work, or is he a finished product because of 1 year of success? I know the answer to that. I have no problems knowing the answer to that, and I know I'm right. He needs a lot of work, period. But many of you disagree. Many of you think because he went on the magic carpet ride last year that he is fully developed, never has to improve, never has to do anything else again. I think that's ridiculous, but whatever. So that's one thing that we can weigh in on. The second thing, in kind of expanding the topic, is this. When you look around the league, is Jaden Daniels any really different than so many other quarterbacks in terms of their individual plights and their individual up and downs and their struggles at times? And what I mean by that is you look at, again, everything going on in Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is getting it from all directions. And some of it is deserved, and some of it isn't, and they keep winning, maybe not because of Jalen Hurts, but what he's done in the postseason, especially compared to the regular season, is undeniable. But Jalen Hurts is a roller coaster. You look at young Jackson Dart, can't stay on the field, taking too many concussions because he doesn't know how to play the position. That's stunting his development. You look at Dak Prescott, one of the best quarterbacks for years now in the NFL. But he's lost a couple of years to season-ending injury, right? But when he plays, Dak Prescott's pretty damn good and doesn't have a lot of ups and downs, but hasn't been able to win the big games in January that everybody cares so much about. You look at Joe Burrow, who might be coming back on Sunday. Can't stay healthy, but when he plays, he's great. You look at Patrick Mahomes. All he does is win, 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 no matter what. But his game-to-game performance, stats, winning, losing, sometimes fluctuates and has rode a little bit of a roller coaster over the last couple of years as they've subtracted talent around him to rebuild and build that defense and the offensive line, not to mention what he's done in a couple of Super Bowls, specifically Super Bowl losses. You look at Bo Nix, who's coming in next Sunday night. Does anybody think Bo Nix is having a good season this year? No, right? No. Bo Nix has seemingly regressed from last year, right? Look at Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb Williams seems to be progressing. But could that be first year with Ben Johnson effect? and next year we might see a regression in the same system? Or is that he was just kind of that bad in his rookie year in a bad situation and it just took the right coaching? Again, I think I know how you guys are going to answer that. I know how I would answer that. But I think I know how you guys would answer that. Drake May, are we going to see a major regression next year? Or maybe down the stretch in December and January? Is he going to walk away from a playoff game in mid-January and everybody's going to go, oh, Drake May was, you know, 15 for 27 for a buck 25 and three picks. Now we don't know what Drake May is. The point being is there's a ton of reaction and overreaction, what have you. Look at Jordan Love, right? One game you look at him and you say, man, Jordan Love's got it all. And then the next you look at him and you say, what the bleep is that? What are you doing out there, pal? Look at Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence. They both got paid. Right? I mean, I could give you a million examples. Well, not a million, but lots of examples of guys at the quarterback position that go up, down, up, down, up, down, roller coaster style. So is Jaden Daniels really any different than anybody else playing the position? And I don't mean play style. I mean from consistency and from a performance standpoint. I believe he's regressed this year, certainly from last year. There's lots of reasons for that. I believe he needs a lot of work. There's lots of reasons for that. Some of you feel he hasn't regressed. Some of you feel he doesn't need work. Some of you feel it's too risky. Some of you feel it's all the talent around him. It's all Cliff Kingsbury's fault, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's got a different perspective. But I asked again, does Jaden Daniels, has he regressed? Or is that kind of a mirage? And two, is this just not whatever Jaden Daniels is, the plight of the quarterback in the NFL, with rare exception? And when I mean rare exception, even the best in the game, Patrick Mahomes, has some ups and downs. Josh Allen last night got beat to shreds and has some ups and downs, right? Josh Allen threw for 253 last night, but two interceptions, including the game-sealing interception. Yeah, it's not like he was bad, but he wasn't good. He got sacked eight times. It's not all on the offensive line. That's him holding on to the damn ball too long, like he did on that one crazy sack by Will Anderson where he lost like 17 yards. Even the greatest in the game struggle for consistency and go up and down. So is Jaden really any different? Or is it just the quarterback position and it's impossible to be as consistent as we'd ideally all like? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on that in general, the quarterback position, are we asking too much? Are we expecting too much? Are we grading too hard? Should we understand that it is always going to be a roller coaster, either health-wise or performance-wise? And if we can wrap our arms around that, maybe we would have more patience and more tolerance for the Baker Mayfields of the world, for the Sam Darnolds of the world, and for guys that are struggling right now, i.e. J.J. McCarthy, i.e., if you want, Bo Nix, maybe even Jaden Daniels. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, we approach 2 o'clock on the Team 980 Feel Good Football Friday. Feel good because the Commanders can't lose this weekend, which is good, right? 6 losses in a row, 3-8 on the season, lost season. And Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, has regressed. Is it a major regression? Of course not. Is it little things that can be improved and worked on? Yes. Things that have to be fixed while actually playing football. Not watching tape. Not in practice where nobody can touch you. by playing football. But am I asking for too much? Am I expecting too much out of a position where universally across the board, there's no real consistency? Either a guy is always injured, or if they play, their performance is up and down. Look at Sam Darnold last week, right? It was the story of the first half of the season. Four interceptions against a big-time defense in the Rams. All right, let's get out to the phones. We're, as usual, having technology issues. Everybody decides to just do whatever they want in this studio and doesn't say anything to anybody, and then we're just left to kind of clean up the carnage. So AMAC's going to have to tell us where he wants us to go. So blame AMAC if you're mad. No, I'm just teasing. AMAC, where do you want us to you're on the phone.
Let's go to Dontell and Frederick.
Where are we going?
Dontell.
Oh, Dontell and Frederick. Let's get D in before the top of the hour. What's up, Dontell? How are you, pal?
What's happening, Chris? How you doing, buddy?
What's shaking, Dontell?
Hey, man, I ain't talked to you since you've been back from Spain, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, man. I hope you had a good trip, man. But, I mean, you know you're my guy, man, and we're always on the same page for 95% of the time. But today, Chris, you're out of order, man. Seriously, and I'm going to tell you, man, that we gotta cut back on this Jaden Daniels regression and all this kind of talk, because what we need to really put our focus on is putting pressure on Adam Peters. The only reason he has his regressions right now is they did nothing to help him. I mean, you can say they gave him frontline help or whatever, but when you have a rookie quarterback that took you on his back to the NFC Championship game, you have to go out and you have to get him that receiver that he needs. He had Terry McLaurin. If you add a receiver with the money that we have, like a George Pickens, like the Cowboys did, like a DK Metcalf, these guys were available, man. And this is the story of this franchise, because we've never had that game-changing number one wide receiver, even though Terry gets 1,000 yards every year. Dude, we have to get him that weapon. Our problem is we're focusing on this defense that is trash. And it's going to take a lot of time to get this defense right. So what do we need to do is make sure our offense is number one, sort of like the Cincinnati Bengals. They always end it because of their offense, even though their defense is trash. Help Jaden out by giving them that receiver he needs.
All right, D, I appreciate the passion, the fire, the energy. I'm going to respond to that after the top of the hour, okay, because we're up against it. I'm going to respond to that after the top of the hour because I think it leads us into an interesting part of this discussion. So good call. Always appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Good to hear from you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. AMAC, don't let me forget to respond to that because it'll also fold into the conversation that we're having. 301-230-0980. We'll take a timeout. Top of the hour, more of your calls, more of your reaction. Are we too hard on quarterbacks? Am I too hard on Jaden, as basically Dontell just said? Or are we expecting too much? Is there regression in your eyes? Or is it just the nature of the position? On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.